Welcome to today's Storage Talk, CSM Fastback Technical Update and Best Practices Conference Call. All lines will be in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session. To ask a question, you may press star 1. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the call over to Mr. Terry Burba. Sir, you may begin.
Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. We've been meaning to do this call for some time, ever since we released TSM 6.1, and we wanted to gather some of our field experiences, bring them together, and try to give you some insight as to what we've seen, what some of the best practices are, and kind of give you some insight as to how you can more effectively leverage TSM Fastback in your accounts. So today what I've asked is, as I've asked my colleague Christopher Wong to join us, is from our SWAT organization, is one of our real hands-on guys around the world working with Fastback. So I've asked him to bring his experiences to the table, and we're going to turn it over to Chris and let him give you his insights, and we think that'll probably take 35, 45 minutes, something like that, and then we'll open it up for some questions at that point. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
All right.
Go right ahead.
Thanks, Terry. Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, depending on where you are. Again, my name is Chris Wong, and I'll be your presenter here today for the technical update for TSM Fastback 6.1. If you go to the agenda page, we'll be talking about the overview, just refreshing everyone about the architecture of Fastback, and then we'll jump into the Fastback 6.1 features and the practices that we've observed with counts relative to scaling and configuration. And then we'll open it up for questions. So what is TSM Fastback? If you go to slide 2, it's a disk-based block-level incremental forever backup technology. It's really a next-gen solution. We acquired FilesX 2 years ago now. So, you know, we celebrated our second anniversary just a little bit back here in the year. And Fastback is really driven here to protect critical file servers and application servers out in, you know, enterprise, remote office, and branch office sites. You can see here we back up SQL Exchange, Oracle, really any application that we talk about. Of course, we have VMware and Hyper-V guest support. That is, you install the client onto the guest system, and then you back it up like it was a regular client. It is a lightweight client on each of those systems, the headless client, so to speak, so there's no actual end user connectivity that's done to do backups. All of that is centrally managed on the Fastback server side. And, of course, you can see here from the picture, we have various levels of backups that we can perform from, like, nightly to more frequent to CDP or continuous data protection backups, depending on what the demands of the customers are to protect the data. And then on the recovery side, this is where Fastback really shines. We're really talking about the ability to get any particular item back. You can get at the file, folder, volume, system level. And what really grabs a lot of people's attention is the instant restore feature, which allows us to begin the restore and then immediately begin using the file system that we're trying to recover. So it can be for applications like Exchange, database applications, also file servers. So really minimizing the amount of time from what used to be, you know, hours to just minutes. And then, of course, you can recover data at any of the locations where Fastback is installed, Fastback server, Fastback DR center, your data center. And then we also have the integration to TSM. Moving on to the next slide, TSM Fastback for Exchange is a component. The add-on component allows us to get item-level recovery of Exchange items, so emails, attachments, you know, those types of things. You can go ahead and use this interface to easily get information out of a backup snapshot and inject those objects directly back into Exchange. At this point, we have support for Exchange 2000, 2003, and 2007. We are looking at adding 2010 support with the first fixed pack update this year, due roughly end of second quarter. That is expected to be in the next TSM for Fastback fixed pack. So watch out for that. TSM Fastback BMR is our bare machine recovery feature. Again, it's an add-on feature and allows us to do recovery of the operating system from one system to another system, whether it be on the same hardware or the similar hardware, also from physical to virtual to physical. So really a lot of capability here We've seen it being used in a lot of cases, not only for recovery, but also for testing of environments to make sure that they're okay, for audits, also for scanning for viruses, things like that. Migrations are another useful case, although we don't see that as much. And again, because of the ability to have it at both your remote site and your DR site allows you to have multiple places for recovery in case of a disaster at your branch office or remote office. Slide 5 is the FastStack disaster recovery component. This is part of the base product. You would set up a FastStack server and then a FastStack DR server at a different site, and that will allow you to go ahead and send your snapshots from each of these FastStack servers to a centralized DR hub server, whether it be at a data center or a regional center. Each set of data can be sent with encryption, compression, can be scheduled. We do optimize WAN resources based on the FTP protocol at this point. And then as we get into the 6.1 features, we'll talk more about what's coming with DR relative to the DDo features that will be added to the product there. Slide 6, this is your typical deployment suite. You've obviously got your protected application servers or file servers here on the left. They've got the client installed, which also gives them the mount and the instant recovery capabilities. But again, bare machine recovery is an add-on feature that can be used to protect that system in the case of a disaster and the system goes down. FastStack recovery servers here in the middle. That, again, is the source of where you back up the data to. So you're going to store that data in a FastStack repository. All those things that are there are add-on features, the FastStack for Exchange. The DR component allows you then to connect to the disaster recovery server, which is offsite, usually at a data center, and that's where it can do offsite recovery in the event of your branch or remote site going down. And again, typically most users will have bare machine recovery available at a DR site as well to recover systems that are lost at a remote or branch office. So with the overview being done, let's talk really now about the heart of this conversation, which is about the 6.1 features and what we'll be seeing here or what we see here with the 6.1 release of TSM FastStack. So on slide 8 here, you can see here sort of an overview of the environment. This is the big picture of the TSM family, which is the TSM FastStack, and then with TSM, a whole holistic view of your data management. So with the TSM FastStack 6.1 release, we're adding features for Linux support. So we back up now with Linux. We're adding dedupe support for your FastStack server, so that is being able to dedupe data that arrives on a FastStack server before it gets placed into your repository. We've got central administration now available through the TSM Administration Center 6.1.3.1 update. So with that, you can now go ahead through a single pane of glass, go and manage your TSM FastStack environments that you might have at each of these remote sites from a central site. We have additional Exchange support coming. We did actually redo the interface for FastStack for Exchange to utilize a set of protocols that is Microsoft compliant. So that is, we do use the recovery storage group features now of Exchange, and we are fully compliant with the Microsoft design of item level recovery support. This mirrors similar to the TSM for mail features that are available. And then we have a few scaling enhancements here that we'll talk about. And then as we show at the bottom here, there's going to be a WAN DDo feature that's going to be added with, again, the next 6.1 fix pack due end of the second quarter here. So slide 9. It's multi-platform support for Linux. So, again, we added Linux support for a couple of versions of Linux. Currently, they are Red Hat and SUSE Linux. Those are the only versions that we support at this current time. You can see his versions here, Linux 5.2 Server and SUSE Enterprise Server 10, Service Pack 2. Kernel specific levels are identified here, as well as the file system matrix for content awareness support. Now, we did add BMR, Linux BMR support shortly after the 6.1 release went out the door. So with the actual 6.1 release, we did not initially have that BMR feature with the package, and that got added very shortly after. So because of that, the documentation was not reflective of the support for BMR Linux or Linux BMR. So development wrote a tech note 7017818 for how to do a BMR on a Linux system. And there's in the notes section of the PowerPoint, you'll see a link there to the particular tech note that I'm talking about. The, at this point, the support for Linux is only for file and full volume recovery. We do not have instant restore capability at this point. That, again, will be coming with the first fix pack in the second quarter. And as I understand, there aren't any issues with that particular feature coming, so it should be a great feature for customers who are looking for that. On slide 10, Fastback server deduplication. We've added deduplication now to your Fastback server, again, because Fastback is a block-level incremental forever backup solution. We are already getting really great, you know, data block savings in terms of storage capacity and usage. And this really just adds on top of that by further deduplicating any duplicate blocks that will could arrive on the Fastback server from the clients that are protected across, you know, a branch or remote office. It is a post-processing deduplication engine, so that means it's server-based. It's all done after the data has arrived. It's not done in line or over the line or client-side, as they might call it. So it is done on the data after it arrives. Experience, obviously, is that we see that processing occur almost immediately after the data starts arriving, so it's not something where, say, you have to start off an actual process to get it going, or you have to wait for a full snapshot to arrive before the actual deduplication engine kicks off. That will kick off on its own, and it will begin deduping data immediately after data arrives. And you'll see that here in the Fastback Manager GUI, because there's now a little indicator down the status panel of the window that basically tells you what your dedupe rate is. And as the processing occurs, you'll see that ratio slide as the deduplication processes data. So data that is sent to a WAN, over the WAN to a DR Hub server from a Fastback server that has deduplication on it, it's going to have to reconstruct that data. That's an important factor for users at this point, because that does mean additional Fastback server processing to reconstruct that data to its full form before getting that sent across the wire. That is because there is no engine on the Fastback DR server to understand that deduplicated data, so it has to be provided as its original form for storage. Again, with the 6.1 Fix Pack 1 that will be coming out, we will be adding a WAN dedupe feature, and that will be discussed in further detail, I'm sure, as it gets closer. But my understanding at this point is the Fastback DR Hub server is going to be getting a TSM component, and we will actually be using the TSM client dedupe engine, which is based off of the API at this point. So you will see that the data that is sent over the WAN will be deduped in line or client-side processing, deduped into the Fastback DR server. So you will see that data significantly reduced before it enters the WAN, so that we will obviously be able to make the full utilization of slower WAN connections. So slide 11 is just a picture of what that actually looks like when you configure a repository, and then when you actually begin using the deduplication during backup, you'll see the ratio here change in your Fastback Manager GUI interface. Slide 12, Fastback Management Integration within TSM Admin Center. So TSM Admin Center is the administration interface for the TSM Relatively Storage Manager environment. We now have hooks in there to allow administrators of large environments to be able to actually manage Fastback environments as well as TSM environments all from the same administration interface. And really what this is talking about is connecting from the TSM Admin Center console to the Fastback Manager GUI interface to be able to go and manage each remote site individually. And then also we have some policy management tools in the TSM Administration Center to go ahead and add policies, and then also to go ahead and schedule integration data that moves from a TSM TSM Fastback environment into a TSM environment for long-term storage. Because TSM Fastback is a disk-based solution, a lot of users are looking to integrate with a full tape recovery solution, which TSM provides for long-term retention. So TSM Admin Center now allows you to configure Fastback snapshots to be sent onto data as file-level data into a TSM environment for stored long-term storage, such that your application servers can then restore that data directly from a TSM server and not have to use a Fastback environment for the recovery of that data, should, say, an audit or some sort of a security requirement require that data be recovered. So you can here on slide 13, you see a example of the configuration, one of the configuration panels available for TSM Administration Center. And you can see here that this is where we would basically see our Fastback servers, and then if you clicked on one of those servers, it would open up the Fastback Manager interface. And then from the drop-down menu, you will be able to do the other actions I was telling you about relative to policy management for a particular environment as well as for TSM integration of snapshots into a TSM environment. So moving on to slide 14. This is the Exchange 6.1 update. Again, we utilize Microsoft-approved Exchange Recovery Storage Group methods, so we do now use the RSGs as a basis for getting the data before sending it back into the live Exchange server storage groups. This is a requirement by Microsoft because it allows data to make to be validated before it actually enters into a live Exchange environment. It uses the same interface as the previous 5.5 version, so technically there's no visual change to the overall interface. It does use, again, similar components to TSM for mail, so you'll see some of the actual interface panels change slightly as you go through the recovery storage group creation process and then actually getting that data inserted into someone's mailbox during the recovery process. 6.1 Exchange supports 2003 and 2007, and again, with the 6.1 six-pack, we are looking at Exchange 2010 support. Note that the Exchange 2010 utilizes databases differently, slightly differently than with Exchange 2007, so there will be some changes coming relative to how we process that data. One other thing that's important to note is that Fastback for Exchange 6.1 needs to be installed on Exchange server. So previously, the Exchange Fastback for Exchange 5.5, you installed on a system with Outlook, so it could be like a laptop, for example. But with Fastback for Exchange 6.1, because of the need to use the Exchange Recovery Storage Group, we now need to have an environment where an Exchange server is available. So that is a requirement for Fastback for Exchange 6.1. Moving on to slide 15 with scaling enhancements. So we have a feature now for incremental after reboot. So we basically had an issue here where system reboots would cause the next subsequent incremental to be what they call a delta block incremental. And a delta block incremental is basically a snapshot that is rebuilding the image map of the disk that we're backing up. Now, normally, after you do a full backup initially, that image map of the volume is held in client memory. As long as the system stays up and the image map stays in memory, and then we can reference that for all subsequent incrementals. When a reboot occurs, that memory gets wiped, and then we have to go ahead and rebuild that on reboot with a delta block incremental. So the scaling enhancement here for incremental after reboot allows us to go and basically store that image map at the time a system is controlled shutdown. So that is a scheduled reboot, a scheduled shutdown restart, the types of reboots where you actually are telling Windows, hey, I want you to shut down normally and reboot. And what happens is we have the driver basically download the image bitmap of the volumes that has memory to disk. We reboot, and then we load those bitmaps back into memory, validate them, and then begin monitoring again. So the nice thing about that is then it allows us to feel like we're still on an always-on mode. So our next backup will be a regular incremental and not one of these delta block incrementals, which can take as long as full backup can because of the need to rebuild all of those blocks into memory. So important feature or important note here is that only for controlled shutdowns and restarts, if we're talking about, you know, unintended reboots, system crashes, those kind of things, this is not an area where we will be able to write out that information prior to system crashing. So you will, unfortunately, in those cases, continue to get delta block incremental backups. Okay, so those are the main features of 6.1, and now we'll be talking about the scaling best practices. So, again, these are really the practices that we recommend for our IBM teams as they're working with customers and developing the requirements and the environment for a potential sale opportunity to understand, you know, what can we or can't the product do relative to an environment. So I broke it out here into sections. We'll start here with the TSM Fastback server. This has a bunch of recommendations. These were gathered over time through product management, through development, and through field experiences out there, as well as support. So a lot of this comes with quite a bit of background. I won't go into the background of a lot of these, but these are recommendations that we do ask that you try to follow as closely as you can. There obviously is some wiggle room, some more than others, so if you have questions, you know, it doesn't hurt to engage folks like me or other resources out there to make sure that if you're going to you try to build a slightly larger environment, say, that you can actually support what is being performed beyond what is recommended. So you can see here that we can back up about 40 clients per Fastback server. Again, because this is a small branch office, remote office product, we don't really recommend this for a data center environment because of its environment is usually a lot bigger than 40 systems approximately. It is looking for smaller environments because all that data needs to be backed up and managed by Fastback server in disk repository space. The amount of data that we can back up to a Fastback server from all of the production hosts is about 4 terabytes at this point. This is predominantly because of cleanup requirements that limit the capabilities of the Fastback server, and this is something that development is looking at very closely to trying to improve towards the end of year or early next year with the next release. The repository size is always recommended to be a minimum of 3 times the amount of data that you're protecting, and generally up to 5 times for larger environments where you're, say, backing up more frequently or you're doing more fulls or, you know, more backups than you typically would with a general environment. So when we talk about the actual repository that's attached to your Fastback server, that could be anywhere from 12 to 20 terabytes. The next one is a hard-coded number of production disks that the Fastback server can protect. That limit is hard-coded at 230 now, so If you do have a client that has a ton of disks or an environment where each client has a ton of disks, you will need to be cognizant of this particular item. It doesn't generally affect most users. The number of repository volumes that Fastback server can create is 20. That is if you're not using dedupe. If you are using dedupe, you can only have one repository allowed. And this is because of the way that the dedupe engine works, as I can only talk basically to one volume. So we do recognize that this is obviously a huge restriction. But at this point, that's unfortunately just the way it is. When you create your repository volumes, you have to be aware that the maximum disk volume size that you can create is 2 terabytes. This is actually a Windows-based limitation. And if you're in VM, it's actually like 1.9 something, like 1.98 terabytes. So these are actually restrictions based on the actual operating system. Now, if you do a repository on volume, which is basically like a folder or using a drive letter rather than the actual disk itself, raw disk itself, then you're not limited to this terabyte minimum. You can do a much larger repository size if you wanted to. So this would be like if you had a DS-based storage system, you could go and RAID 5 a bunch of disks together, a bunch of 5-terabyte groups, then expose those to Windows as dynamic disks, and then go ahead and you could go ahead and span them together if you wanted to, for example, and that would allow you to get beyond, this 2-terabyte limit and give you, especially if you're using a dedupe repository, a much larger repository to work with. Moving on to the next slide. In terms of the number of backups, we roughly say 8 is the maximum number of backups that you have, full backups, or I guess this technically applies to delta block incremental backups as well, to 8 backups. And the reason why this is because as the requirements of the number of backups increases, the Fastback server will take longer for each of those backups to run. And if the Fastback client system is under a lot of churn, that is, it's very heavily utilized at the time that the backup is being run, the virtual space that we use to store blocks as the operating system and applications continue to write to it, that can fill up the temporary memory that we have to save changes that are happening to the operating system. And if that fails, then we basically have to abort the backup and mark the backup as unsuccessful at that point. So we don't recommend having more than roughly 8 at a time because of that. The backups from a Fastback server to a DR Hub server are done over FTP. So the number of FTP sessions that a Fastback server can send to a DR Hub server can be adjusted within the Fastback DR INI file. Of course, you can also set that on the FTP server program on the DR Hub server system as well. This is obviously just the sort of that quote client side of the FTP session that we're talking about here with the Fastback DR.ini configuration file. And when you really try to evaluate, WAN line speed, you need to take into account whether compression is really going to add any benefit. We've seen, that compression can actually increase your overall backup time over, or DR replication time over WAN, because the processing time to decompress and recompress that data actually is longer than if you had just sent the data blindly over the line without any activity to reduce or re-expand the data. So slide 19, a couple more things. With regards to cleanup, if you're not using dedupe or replication, you can go ahead and use maximal disk cleanup. But if you are using these, then you need to take into account the WAN throughput rate of the snapshots being replicated or deduplicated. Really what we're talking about here is just understanding, how much data we're going to be resending over the wire from the Fastback server to DR Hub server, because the DR Hub server is really maintaining a replica of all the snapshots that are held on the Fastback server. If there's a lot of cleanup activity going on a Fastback server and snapshots are being reorganized, all of those reorganizational changes have to be replicated across, which can add a lot of disk activity across the wire or data activity over the wire to your DR Hub server. So depending on if your WAN can support a lot of data transfer, then you might be able to use a higher level of dedupe or disk cleanup. Otherwise, you will have to use the minimal disk cleanup method, which will minimize the amount of reduction of data that gets sent across the WAN. Slide 20, we're talking about now the Fastback client recommendations here. So the maximum volume size that we recommend backing up to a Fastback server is 2 terabytes. That is just a hard limit, basically, that we set. I believe that is in code. I document in the notes here that this is related to APRIC 64414. So I think it was at one point a soft limit, but at this point I understand it to be hard-coded now. So if you have a volume that's larger than 2 terabytes on a client system, that's not a volume that you can support with Fastback for backup, unfortunately. The support for dynamic disk is available with Fastback. That was added in one of the Fastback 5.5 fixed packs. But keep in mind that having dynamic disk, depending on the amount of churn activity that occurs on the disk, can make backups difficult to complete. This is, again, for similar reasons that I was mentioning in a previous slide, relative to the amount of the way that we manage the changes that occur on the file system while the backup process is in flight. If, again, there's too much data, we fill up temporary memory, and we have to abort the backup. Dynamic disk volumes, we document this in the manual, have to be restored to a basic disk first and then be converted to dynamic disk after. So you have to be very cognizant that, you know, if you're going to try to restore a large disk, make sure that you can go and create a basic disk first before you create it over or shift it over to dynamic volumes. If you're talking about a really large dynamic volume, we will not be able to go ahead and convert that because obviously we just can't restore the data to a basic disk first. Fastback DR Hub servers, there aren't really any recommendations other than the number of Fastback servers that a DR Hub server can support, which is 20. I've never actually seen an environment where a user has had 20 Fastback servers connecting to one DR Hub server, but if you did, 20 would be the recommended limit. Slide 22, we're talking again about the repository sizing recommendation. So we talked about 3 to 5 times. Dedupe can help with additional savings of data. You know, a lot of people ask, well, what's the ratio that we can establish for dedupe? And really, it really all just depends on the type of data that we have. And, we've seen in the field that average deduplication rate is about 1 to 2. And really, again, that's just sort of a really rough average. It can be a lot more or a lot less depending on how the systems that you're backing up look relative to the blocks that we go ahead and examine during the deduplication process. On slide 23, we've got a more specific sizing calculator. Again, it's not perfect science, but it does help users to better understand what a repository size might be based on actual estimates of use space, large volume that you have, estimated change rate, and then the number of snapshots that you'll be retaining on the Fastback server per whatever policy that the client or user sets up. So the most important thing that you want to consider is that you do not undersize the repository. And we've seen so many cases where users think, oh, my change rate is only going to be, you know, 5%, and then we end up seeing that like 25% or 30% or number of snapshots, oh, we're only going to do one a day, but then they end up doing two a day on their exchange servers or five snapshots for their SQL servers. And then we're talking now about more data than we actually expect to have. So have realistic expectations. You know, talk to your clients. Make sure that you understand what their data retention needs are and that they size and understand their environment clearly, because that is really going to potentially make or break the actual implementation of a fastback environment, is if you don't size it correctly. If your customer is going to be replicating data to a fastback DR Hub server, the allocation is going to be based on the sum of all the snapshots that are replicated and additional space for a large snapshot that can be replicated from each fastback server. And I have an example here. Say if you have volumes of 250 gig, 500 gig, and 750 gig that are being protected and replicated by a fastback server to a DR Hub server, you can see here that the sum of those volumes that you're going to be replicating equals 1,500. So you multiply that by the minimum factor of 3, so 4,500 is the recommended fastback server repository size. Then on top of that, now we got to go and calculate the largest volume size being protected from that fastback server, in this case 750 gig. You add that on top of the 4,500. So 5250 is the recommended DR Hub server repository size, a size on the DR Hub server that you will set up in order to support the snapshots that are replicated from your fastback server here to that DR Hub server. At this point, do you have any questions? There's sample use cases. I won't go into that because those were presented at Pulse, and those are sort of self-explanatory. And then the appendix area is really just sort of the deep dive technology review of Fastback. It was presented during a previous enablement, so I won't go into that. You can review that at your own leisure. I'll open it to the floor at this point.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Glenn Knight. Your line is open.
Hey, Chris. This is Glenn Knight. I appreciate your taking time to give us some information. My question is, one of the struggles I have, and I've done a couple of fastback implementations, is finding information. Other than opening a PMR with IBM, there doesn't seem to be a real good database or a good location that I'm aware of, just to get even basic information. For example, you know, what a delta block incremental backup means versus a regular incremental backup, and just, you know, a lot of just more in-depth explanation of the product. Is there a place that's available, or what would your recommendation be?
I would recommend that we take a look at the T-Tech Go trainings. Those are available to IBM internal folks. We provide them, obviously, with every release, and we do have those for 5.5 and version 6.1. That is basically the deep dive of each of the, you know, releases and goes through all the features that is available in Fastback. There is a Red Book, too, although it's based on 5.5, and I don't believe at this point there's been work to refresh that for 6.1, but that's something that's certainly under discussion.
Those sessions that you mentioned that are available for IBM internal folks,
yeah,
are they available for? I work with a business partner, and so where would I find or how would I get access to those?
Okay. I need to look into that for you to find out to make sure that those could be released, and then obviously what avenue that would be available for business partners. Sometimes they make them available for business partners. Sometimes they don't. It really just depends on the requirements that are developed during the education cycle. So let me go and check into that, and then I can let you know.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Lindsay Morris. Your line is open.
Chris, hi. Slide 18, you said the maximum recommended number of simultaneous full-volume backups is 8. I'm not technically as familiar with FastBack as I should be. What's a full-volume backup? I thought it was disk-based, block-level, incremental forever.
Right. So when you do an initial backup of a disk or a volume, you actually are talking about doing a full backup of all the used blocks on that particular volume. And that's what I refer to here in the sense is that initial backup of that particular disk or of that particular volume. When you do that first backup, that will be a full volume backup of all of the used blocks on that system. Every single backup after that will be an incremental. So this first bullet point really is actually going to impact users that are actually doing full volume backups for, say, an initial deployment. So I've set up my FastBack server, and I put a client on each of my, say, 5 servers. And each of these 5 clients has 3 volumes on it that we're going to be protecting. Well, that's 15 volumes that we're going to be potentially backing up for the initial full. And that exceeds the recommendation of 8. So we recommend that you break your backups into two groups, one to process, you know, the first, say, 8 volumes, and then the second group to back up the other 7 volumes.
Right. Thank you. This is a consideration that only applies during the initial deployment, right?
During initial deployments or after power outages, those generally would be the cases where we would see that. Again, the full volume or a delta block incremental, where a delta block incremental is basically reconstructing that image bitmap to memory of a client. That can take resources too, because it has to talk to the FastBack server quite a bit in order to get information about the previous version of the bitmap that the client had.
Great. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Chris, let me see if I'm back in here now. Can you hear me now? All right, I couldn't come off mute here to answer questions a moment ago. So let me add one other point to the question that came from before. We do have our forums for support of FastBack. We have a lot of technical questions and a lot of technical experts that address those forums and answer questions there. So if you do have some questions to that, that you do have and you can't quickly find an answer, popping one out to the forum is always a great resource to be able to get your questions answered quickly there. So just wanted to add that point in as well. In addition to that, I wanted to make one point about a statement Chris made earlier on the 6.1 fix pack, and he made reference to it being available by the end of the quarter here. We have every intention of making that happen. Everything looks good at this point. However, our legal experts tell us that if we have a slip here and it runs across to the end of the quarter, we could have some challenges there. From recognizing revenue, that kind of thing. So what we are saying to customers at this point is that we expect that six pack sometime within the next 60 days. We fully believe it's probably going to be fine, but if we slipped over by a week into early July, that could present a challenge to us. So if we tell our customers sometime within the next 60 days we'll have this six pack out, everybody should be covered and everybody should be happy on that.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no further questions at this time.
All right. Well, we do appreciate all of you giving us some of your time today to listen to the presentation. If you have some additional questions, I know we'll be happy to answer those for you. You can contact me, of course, at tburba@us.ibm.com. We do have our Fastback forms available to you. Our IBMers can also address questions through our software group, Answer Network, SWANT, and we'll be happy to answer those for you. We look forward to being able to bring you some more information on Fastback 6.1 FixPack here shortly as we get a little closer to the release of that and have all those new capabilities there. And we'll keep you posted as we have more capabilities coming with Fastback. We believe that we've got a great product here. We're seeing a lot of great results in the field from this, and we hope you can add it to your portfolio working with your customers to give them the results they need. With that, we'll close the call down for today. Thank you for your time. As I always say, quoting my mentor, Zig Ziglar, good luck, good selling, and we'll see you at the top. Thank you very much.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.